Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from a very familiar passage that we have either read, studied, or have heard a number of times. And then out of the New Testament, from the letter that James wrote. But first, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then the last verse, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then in the New Testament, the letter of James wrote, and James was Jesus' half-brother, and he writes this in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Well, as you know, Sunday was Father's Day, always a reflective time for me, and I always seem to reflect not only on my own relationship with my father, but how I did as a dad in years past, how I'm doing and what I could and should do differently, and even now as a granddaddy. And if the truth be known, there are times that I feel a twinge of regret, remembering when and where I know now that I could have done a better job. It was a bit of a uphill climb for me being a father. The journey of my childhood left me standing at that threshold point of fatherhood, having to learn different ways of fathering than I had experienced as a child. Linda and Linda's dad were my role models, my worldly examples of how a good father should be. They were always painting that role to me by their example. And Linda, of course, in addition to that, also added some pointed instruction and correction along the way, and I'm truly glad she did. In addition to learning and becoming the father that God wanted me to be, I had a few other mountains to climb. For example, I had to learn how to be an attentive and selfless husband, which I'm still working on today. I was attending college, and then I taught high school mathematics for a year, and then I attended law school, all while working part-time jobs to supplement the GI Bill that I received for college use, which was provided for my service in the United States Air Force. There are a lot of rough patches and mistakes, a number of tough moments while learning who I should be and what I needed to do to be there and to get there. And if you look closely back at my journey along the way, you will see that the real saint and patient hero was the one who journeyed with me through all of that on earth, and that was my bride, Linda. I wonder if you've had similar moments in your life, climbing mountains, learning or still learning to be who God wants you to be in some relationship, maybe with your spouse, your child or grandchild, with a friend or somebody at work, overcoming obstacles, disappointments, and regrets from the past, people or things that hurt you, or times that you failed or fell short and you just can't seem to pick yourself up from and move on. Maybe you found yourself traveling through too many storms that, looking back, saw you see that they washed out your plans, they washed out dreams, and they washed out the hopes that you once held for tomorrow. You know, I hope not, but I have a strong hunch that you have. And if life is anything like we've noticed or experienced up until now, we will probably experience a few more of those hills, some rough patches, and other moments that we feel ill-equipped to handle. I mean, just look around the past few months and what is going on in our nation and world with the virus, and then all the disruption that's going on now. And in our own power and wisdom, we probably can't deal with any of that, or what we face personally, not by ourselves. But there's good news, my friends. You know, along the way of that journey, climbing mountains and trying to be who God wants me to be, learning to be that father and that husband and dealing with all the stuff in life, I was introduced during that process to a small book written by Charles Allen. Charles was the pastor at First United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas, and the book was entitled God's Psychiatry. He wrote it in 1953. I think I picked it up 30 years later, but in it, he recommended reading the 23rd Psalm aloud 5 times a day for at least 1 full week. And doing that, as he suggested, I found reintroduced me to the God who is always there and was always there with these words of promise as he began, "The Lord is my shepherd," that helped me to begin to climb mountains and to continue to climb mountains and with the goal of becoming who I was created to be. I'm still doing it. Still doing it. And as I began to learn, though, and as David reminds us in Psalm 23, that we don't have to handle life alone. That was a really neat reassurance for me as I was journeying during that time. And still am. Listen again to a couple of those phrases that he wrote. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The point which David found to be true and shared in this psalm is that no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we face or what is happening in the world around us, no matter how many others tell us that we can't, how often we feel less, no matter how many times we fall and fail, and where the way ahead for us isn't clear, I mean totally unclear, God's goodness and God's mercy is still always there and always follows, always encourages us. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Notice, David doesn't say maybe or possibly or, hey, there's a chance that God's goodness and mercy will follow me. He says surely God's goodness and mercy will follow him. Despite all the things that he experienced, through all the mistakes that he made, missteps, the sins that he committed, and even in the end not getting it right, God still remained there for him. Never a doubt. And it wasn't because of anything that David did to earn it. James, as I mentioned, Jesus' half-brother, who did not believe Jesus was who he said he was until Jesus was crucified on the cross and then rose from the tomb. James reminds us that there is no change or variation with God, a God who does not change like shifting shadows or change based on what we do or don't do. That's good. So here's the point. Even though our mood may shift depending on any given day, God doesn't shift. Even though our minds may change depending on the circumstances before us, God doesn't change. Even though our commitment may falter, knowing where we ought to go and what we ought to do, depending on the difficulties we face, God doesn't falter ever. Ever. Even when we ignore him for a time, guess what? He's there. When we are consumed with doubt about all that is before us and question him and his promises, guess what? He is still there. When an unexpected illness hits or we lose a loved one way too soon, even when nothing around us makes sense and the way ahead is unclear, he knows the way. And when we fall away from the path that he wants us on and the guilt that we feel is overwhelming because of what we did, he's still there. When we are faithless, he is faithful and is there. Surely, David said, God's goodness, God's grace is there to supply our every need, and his mercy is there to forgive our every sin. That's what it says. And that's what David, at times a wayward, sinful person, experienced and found to be true in his life. God's love, God's goodness, and God's forgiveness, God's mercy was there, even for him. And then, if that wasn't enough, God follows us. He pursues us. He chases us and tracks us down. Francis Thompson, in his poem, The hound of heaven refers to God as that persistent hound from heaven who will always pursue us. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, refers to God chasing after us as God's prevenient grace, that love, unmerited love, that irrepressible love that is always coming after us until we turn to him and allow him to become a part of our lives or allow him to become again a part of our lives. The God David had experienced and the God of all creation who created us follows us every day, no matter what we're facing, where we are, or the past that we've been through. You know, as God followed Moses into the wilderness and then led and took care of him and 2 million Israelites on their journey through the desert, God follows and leads us on our journeys, wherever they take us. As God came after Jonah and caught him with a big fish, he comes after us to turn us back toward him and toward the person that we should be and that he wants us to be. As Christ walked on water out to his disciples in their boat that was caught in a storm at sea, he sees us and walks to us in the midst of our storms and troubles. As Christ met the defeated Samaritan woman at the well that Luke wrote about in chapter 4 of his gospel, Christ meets us at the well or at our moments of most desperate need, like she was experiencing. As Christ embraced and forgave Peter, who denied Christ 3 times as he was headed to the cross, Christ forgives us time after time after time and more when we come up short, and he sets us on a better course. As Christ did with all of those and more, he does for us, no matter what we face, deadlines, decisions, disappointments, heartaches, despair, maybe even finding ourselves dealing with an unfair hand in life. God embraces us and will put our feet back on the path that he wants us on for our good and for his glory. Through whatever we face, wherever we are, through our fears and doubts, all the uncertainty that we see out there about tomorrow, through our failures and our fallings, God's goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. In every case that we face, we can count on him always being there. That's the God you and I can trust with our lives, a God of goodness, grace, and mercy who follows us all the days of our lives. Together, as we move ahead, let's first claim that assurance, that calm peace, and that promise for today, for this week, and always. And then, as a good friend always said to me, go with God. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you, wow, for that simple reminder out of the 23rd Psalm again that David wrote, or you inspired David to write, that surely, no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that you're our shepherd, and we never have anything we want for. You've got us. You'll be with us. Thank you for that huge dose of sunshine this morning that we might remember forever. Thanks for always being with us. Thanks for never leaving us. Thanks for in the midst of the stuff that we do or don't do, the mountains we climb, the things we face that we're pretty sure we can't get over, that we can with you because you've never left us. You are always there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us, and you will lead us on into all that you want us to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your son. And it's in his precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.